warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Command Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. And men, we have a heck of a show for you tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. Dave, we are outside. Actually, we're not even in the studio.
We're in God's studio today.
We are in God's studio, which is outside.
Yes.
That is where we are.
And we're joined by a special guest today.
Yes, we are. Mr.
Mike Miley.
Woo! Hey, everybody.
So Mike Miley has been with us before, but that was when Dave...
Well, he hasn't been with us before. He's
been with us,
you before.
Me and the listeners before.
Yeah, that's true. He's been with us as an audience.
Sans Dave. And our...
I was doing important things last time.
Yes, you
slightly, slightly important.
I mean, I was really just standing there, but it was really important for me to be standing there.
Mm-hmm. But yes, because you had you and your wife had a baby.
Yeah.
So.
And she was literally in labor while you guys were recording.
She had to go into labor right when I got into town.
I thought,
and it was like we
planned
her.
This thing.
You know what?
Like you could have met her later,
Pamela. You did that on purpose.
But this is going to be a special edition because we are outside. Like, Dave, you and I have said many times that the Catholic Man Show kind of stemmed also from sitting outside by a campfire, men talking together and saying at the very end of the night after recording, we should have recorded that.
No, not after recording. Just after talking.
Oh, actually, yeah. Yes, yeah. I'm sorry. After talking, we should have recorded that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of guys have had that experience before where they had some great conversation. And they said that. We should have that was so good. We should have recorded that. And then it occurred to Adam and I, we have a radio station. You know, we can totally do that.
We should just, yeah, do
we're going to do it.
Or like the last 3 hours of us sitting here eating tacos by Juan.
Yeah.
Juan's tacos.
Yes.
Dang, Juan.
So we need to.
In fact, Juan is here. He's just off mic.
Off mic, yeah. So we need to thank.
Holding the light in place.
Yeah, we need to thank Juan, who's here tonight, holding the lights, you know, helping with the videography.
He's been assigned about 4 or 5 tasks.
Yeah.
That he needs to do all at the same time. Juan, at the same time.
So.
In a hue.
Miley, for those who may not know who you are, who is Michael Miley?
I am a man from California.
This is good. This is a good start.
So far, you meet the prerequisites.
Yes.
Yes. In the age of gender ambiguity, I am a man.
Good.
From
good.
California. Born of my mom. And I play drums for a band called Rival Sons, and I'm on tour. And I've been talking to you guys like, hey, when I come into town, you know, we should hang out. And we arranged a dinner. We arranged to tape this. And we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants, I think, tonight. So,
without a doubt.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so I'm on a day off in the middle of like a 6-week tour. And, so it's great to be here. I love your show. I'm a huge fan. You guys have changed my life literally. And, yeah.
So for those who don't know who, you know, maybe living under a rock and don't know who Rival Sons are, give an example of like, you know, who are Rival Sons? What kind of music do you play? Let our listeners know who that is, who Rival Sons are.
It's a rock and roll band. We hail from Long Beach. We claim Long Beach as where we're from. It's where I met Jay, our singer, and
who's phenomenal.
Yeah, best rock vocalist I think on planet Earth.
Sometimes I pretend to be him in the shower, and I think, like, I'm just as good, right? No.
No.
It, you know, we play, like, a very kind of niche-y, in this day and age, a niche-y style of rock and roll, and very blues-influenced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
R&B-influenced, gospel-influenced, which is what, if you look at the annals of rock and roll, starting with, like, say the Beatles, say the British Invasion, you have the Beatles, Rolling Stones, The Who, Cream, Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix. They were all emulating or just ripping off blues, gospel, R&B, rhythm and blues, like the real stuff, doing it on big drums and turning up the amps. And that's how you get rock and roll. Rock and roll is doing that music just turned up. And somewhere along the way, when you take the blues out of rock and roll, you lose the roll. So then you just have rock, you know, and then rock kind of turns into metal, and metal has no blues, you know. So we're kind of trying to keep the old school roots,
yeah, man,
of rock and roll, mm-hmm, in the music. And
yeah, so if you like Led Zeppelin, if you like Cream, Rival Sons, you will like.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just tell you this: the first time I heard your music, for years in college, I listened to classic rock almost exclusively, and I think everybody's been saying, how come people don't make music like this anymore? Mm-hmm. And the first time I heard Rival Sons, I said, someone is making music like this still. Mm-hmm. And I went around playing it for everybody, and, you know, it's like, this sound, like, this is, they're making this music right now. This band is...
Yeah, this is in the 70s.
Like, this,
yeah,
is, this is a real live band right now, in, like, today.
Yeah.
I was so excited.
We kind of purposely formed the band around that ideology. Like, Scott and I, the guitar player, got together, and we had that very conversation, and just saying, something is lacking in modern rock. I mean, at the time, you know, Jack White had the White Stripes, I'm blanking on those guys, the Brothers album, the two-piece, what is it? The Black Keys, yeah.
Black Keys,
Wolf Mother, we're doing this.
Way to go, babe.
Yeah, thanks.
The Peanut Gallery back there.
That's my wife.
We're doing this kind of throwback, or like, yeah, allowing the blues to kind of come back into rock and roll. And so this is around the time we were forming the beginnings of the band. We got Jay in 2009, when Jay came in the band, it kind of completed the circle of having a singer that has those roots, mm-hmm, from folk, blues, Americana, R&B, gospel. You know, you listen to, like, these gospel tapes from the 30s and 40s, like, and it's eerie the way these people are singing. It's spiritual music. And then you read, you know, a book or an article, and it's like, Jimmy Page, like, played this album over and over again, you know, and there's tons of information out there, like Eric Clapton getting into Robert Johnson and just becoming obsessed with it and trying to emulate it. And mm-hmm, and so we draw from the same well as the classic rock bands that we're talking about. We try to do that.
So once again, if you don't know Rival Sons, go get on iTunes, check them out. Your music videos are also awesome on YouTube. I love watching those. I don't know who produces those, but they're pretty sweet.
We've had different directors. We worked with a few different people, and we just like, it's art. We're making art.
I agree.
We like to be artistic.
Yeah.
And make, mm-hmm, a good video. I mean, there's a lot of great videos out there, and so to compete with what's out there, you know, you have to work with the right people. You have to have the right treatment. You have the right idea behind it. And
okay, so if you are just now tuning in to the Catholic Man Show, and this is your first time tuning in, Dave, we do three things on the episode, every episode.
Every episode.
What are they?
First thing we do is open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage, which we're going to do right now. And I know I say this every time, but I'm so excited about this week's man beverage.
Oh, yeah.
The second thing we do is highlight a man gear of some kind. This is something that every man should have and use in their day-to-day life, especially the Catholic man. I've got a glass right here. You can pour it in there for me.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry, sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I forgive you because of my holiness. And the third thing we do is have what some people have called the manliest discussion you've ever heard in your life.
Mm-hmm. So if you're hearing the wind, I'm sorry, but we're outside.
We're outside.
Okay. So the drink that we're having tonight.
Tell them what it is.
Dude, I'm so excited. It is a Glenmorangie, 18-year.
18 years.
Extremely rare.
Extremely.
This bottle bottle of scotch could vote if it was a citizen.
Juan is like, hey, give me some. I don't blame him.
You deserve some.
Yeah,
Juan.
You deserve some. So yeah, it's Glenmorangie, extremely rare, 18-year. I'm really excited about it.
It's got that classic Glenmorangie smell. Every bottle of Glenmorangie kind of has a similar smell to it.
Orange rind or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very orange peel.
Uh-huh.
That's just like the classic.
It's their staple.
Yeah, it is an orange peel type of a smell. So
they know what they do, and they do it well.
So we're on the Lord's team?
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus, men.
Cheers to Jesus. What?
That's already
okay.
Oh my gosh, that is good.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Okay, so when we get back, we'll jump into the man gear, but we're also going to talk a little bit more about this man beverage.
We must.
Yeah. I'm Adam Anand, sitting here with David Niles. We have Michael Miley, the drummer of Rival Sons, here with us. Juan is our producer this evening. My wife is our audience.
Peanut gallery.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, brothers, to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles.
Yummy.
Sitting here in God's studio with my friend Adam Minahan and my friend Mr. Michael Miley.
Now I know what temperance was all about back in the day when they were illegalizing alcohol. That what they really wanted to do is temper it so you wouldn't finish the bottle too soon because it's
right.
So
because by making
good.
It illegal, you wouldn't just drink it all.
Right.
I had to go to Europe
to get
that.
You gotta be temperate. Temperate, right? Temperance.
Yes.
Oh, so this is the Catholic Man Show.
Yes.
And we are reminding you that wherever you go, there you are.
And when you find it, there it'll be.
Indeed. So ponder that.
That's deep.
Okay, so we just tried.
Ponder that.
A bottle of Glenmorangie
that I've been saving for a while.
Aged for 18 years in the barrel. So, you know, like whiskey doesn't age in the bottle.
Right.
It's not like wine. Yeah, if you have a 12-year-old whiskey and it's been in the bottle for 50 years, it's still a 12-year-old whiskey. It only ages in the barrel. This one was aged 18 years in barrel.
Wow.
And like we're not saying extremely rare, like that's what we're calling it. That's what's on the bottle.
It says
it on the
bottle.
So you know it's true.
Extremely rare.
Yeah, because anytime someone who sells a product puts something on the label, you know it's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? Miley, what are your thoughts?
First thought, I mean, is smooth. Like my first sip, we were talking and I almost didn't notice it. And that's not because it wasn't good. It was sometimes you drink a bourbon or a scotch or a whiskey and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, it
kind
of hits you. Like I have a special thing I brought too, as an addendum to this, maybe we'll introduce it at some point, but that one will smack you in the face. This was so smooth that I didn't even notice it.
In fact, between the breaks or over the break, Adam, you said this is maybe the smoothest whiskey you've ever had. And I have to agree.
And I hate saying that because it's like,
I know, superlatives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's some great honey notes. There's some great honey to it. It's very sweet.
And the orange peel is present throughout.
There is no pepper, corn. There's no like bite at the end. It is just smooth straight through.
I'll bet you anything my 2-year-old daughter would like this. I mean, I'm not kidding. Everybody is going to like this whiskey.
It is extremely smooth.
If your infant is having trouble sleeping, you can slip a little in their formula. That's, you know, old school. That's,
it's, I know, it's funny. Like, people really used to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually have some friends who are Hungarian, and they were over. We had a dinner party, and the grandma was there, had the baby in her arm, and literally, like, took the wine glass and poured it into this, like, 9-month-old's mouth. And just, oh, it helps them sleep. They're, you know.
What are you supposed to say, like, to an old grandmother? Yeah. You're feeding alcohol to my baby. Like,
yeah, please don't do that.
But I'm socially, I'm not sure I'm allowed to do anything about it.
Right.
All right, so okay. Let's get to the man gear.
Okay, because
this is one that Miley brought.
Yeah, Mandrake Glenmorangie, extremely rare, 18-year, amazing. We'll get to the man gear now.
We'll be talking about this for the rest of our life.
Yeah.
Miley, you brought this book.
I brought a book, and...
Okay, hold on. Let's set the stage. Let's be honest. Let's be candid
here. Okay, I like to do that. Paint a picture for us, Adam.
We started this, like, Miley's been planned coming here for, I don't know, what, a month?
Maybe. Oh, no, longer than that.
A couple months. And we were like, okay, we're so excited, we're ready to go. And you got here, and I said, Miley, I don't know what we're going to talk about yet. Right?
Yeah, I don't think we still know what we're going to talk about.
No, we don't.
We still don't.
Yeah, so this is the first episode where, and we like to do this on the, announce our first.
Right.
This is an open forum episode.
Yes. Yep.
We're just literally going to let it, let's
and
see
I
what
am
happens.
Not,
we'll see what happens.
I am not Tim Staples. I am not Trent Horn. Just a disclaimer.
Yes. So. I'm not either.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, like, when we started, I asked Dave, like, Dave, what should we do for the man gear? And you said, I don't know. I said, well, let's
In
ask.
In fact, I actually suggested, well, why don't we record session 3 and 4 first, see what we talk about.
And then go back.
We'll decide what a good man gear was based on our conversation.
Right. So, but I said, no, let's just let Miley decide.
Well, and luckily he had some.
Yeah, luckily he came prepared.
Even more backstory. My first episode I listened to of you guys, your man gear was the scapular, and I got super interested in that. And I think I was coming within a few weeks, and when I taped with you the first time,
right?
So I researched the scapular. I came here. We went and bought one.
Yes,
at your Catholic bookstore.
Catholic book and gift store. Jim,
yeah.
Jim hooked us up.
And I got 6 medals to put on it, so it's super uncomfortable. And
it's
like constantly smacking me, you know. And
what a great reminder.
Yeah.
I got what's it called? Into the Carmelite.
Inducted. Yeah.
I got inducted. I did the whole procedure for that. And so because of you and because you guys and your man gear topic changed my life. So as most of your episodes do, not all of them changed my life, but just kidding.
Typically Dave's, but do not.
So this, I brought a book.
That was funny, Adam.
Sorry, I'm leaning for the book. I often hit up Patrick Coffin to...
Who's that guy?
Here's a shout out to our buddy, our mutual friend.
We call him P-Dog.
P-Dog. He turned me on to this book, and it's not a Catholic book per se, but it is Catholic because it's universal. The topic is universal. It's called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And he was a Holocaust survivor. And... The things he went through at Auschwitz, and his train ride to Auschwitz, his, you know, marching miles a day in the snow with shoes that don't fit, that are leaking cold snow into your feet. Like, he paints this picture, and he's a Viennese or Austrian sociologist, and he came up with the third Viennese school of psychotherapy. I think Freud is like the first school and somebody else is the second. He's the third, and it's called logotherapy, but it's basically the science of meaning. And that he found that the people who survived in the concentration camps were people who had something to live for, something They had hope. They had meaning. And I think this is a very universal Catholic principle. And so I was very grateful to Patrick for recommending the book, because it blew my mind. It's one of those you can read over and over again. And so that's just a little synopsis of this book. And I brought it when Adam picked me up. I gave it to him as a gift, but I thought it would be a good man gear. I bought like 15 copies to give away, you know what I mean? So it's one of those books you want to share with people. So
that's awesome. So what is the thing that you got most? Like, what is the meaning?
Like, if you had to grab one thing out of that book, what was it?
Well, to put it in a Catholic perspective, I would say hope. Hope is one of our the three theological virtues you receive at baptism: faith, hope, and love. And hope is something that is ingrained in our in the Catholic spiritual life. So
I think hope is so underrated. Like, I, you know,
we're in like an unofficial year of hope. I mean, Pope Francis announced in December, like, the
did he?
Yeah, that. It's not like, yeah, the Year of Mercy, where it was
like I should know this,
a big thing.
You're a bad Catholic.
I'm bad because I don't know the exact how he did it, but he announced it at a mass, in a homily, saying this next year will be a year of hope. And
hope is something
I hope he's right.
Yeah. hope is something that's so underrated, because you hear all these things that you turn on the media, you hear nothing but negative things. It's so easy to fall into despair, but Christ over and over again said, be not afraid. I mean, be not afraid was like what the main theme, like if you had to pull out from the Gospels, mm-hmm, that was the thing that was most said.
Yeah, I think it's the phrase that's said more than any other phrase. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, being a hopeful man is being a Catholic man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yep, if you want to know more about the virtue of hope, we actually did
a full episode on that.
On hope.
Yeah.
So you
it
can
was
go.
Like a long time ago.
Yeah. It's maybe 6 months ago, 7 months ago, 8 months ago.
Yeah, I know.
It's somewhere in the range of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sort of a Protestant problem with hope, because if you're once saved, like always saved, there's no reason for hope. If
yeah,
you think about it.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. Just like hope, well, does not exist in heaven.
That's what I was wanting. Yeah. I've talked to
only love.
Only love. Because you don't need faith. You don't need hope. Only love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're in front of the beatific vision, there's no reason for there's no reason for faith. You're already there.
Yeah, because God
there's no
is
reason
love.
To hope. Mm-hmm. You're already there.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's an interesting point that they do. Yeah, what do they hope for if they are once saved, always saved?
Mm-hmm. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah, I've always wondered what.
Didn't like St. Paul say that or something? Like somebody very smart.
Yeah, he was pretty smart, I think.
I think he was pretty smart.
He at least had a lot of good things to say.
He did have a lot of good things.
I've always wanted to ask a Protestant. Really, there's a lot of things I've wanted to sit down with a Protestant and be able to really ask them, what is it, you know, how do you guys grapple with these things? Not from I want to try to prove something to you, really just understand. Because I think if I were to have a better understanding of the Protestant faith, mm-hmm, I think I'd be able to have better conversations with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's something I really don't know. And there's, man, maybe 20 things, like, mm-hmm, major themes in the Bible that, what do you guys do
yeah,
about this? But anyway.
Here we are. Here we are at another break.
Another break. We're going to come back and we'll be on our open forum topic. It's going to be awesome.
We have no idea what we're going to talk about.
We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back. Have you heard of the Clear Creek Abbey? Have you heard of Clear Creek Monastery?
I was under the impression that everyone had heard.
That was the word?
A bird.
I'm really sorry I did that. We are having a Catholic Man Show camp out at Clear Creek Abbey.
It's going to be so awesome.
We have guys coming from the West Coast, coming from the East Coast. Coming in, we're going to have Miley is tentatively.
I have to get approval from
The wife.
My wife, the
which
boss.
I highly recommend that. That is a good decision.
But I really want to go.
We're going to have a camp out in October. If you don't know, October 19th through the 22nd, we're going to have a camp out at Clear Creek Abbey. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have Sam Guzman from the Catholic Gentleman's going to be there. Our fire is obviously going right now. You can hear that in the background. But we're going to have a fire there. We're going to have Father Abbott be there. He's going to probably give a talk for us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're going to be able to eat with the
with the monks.
The Clear Creek Abbey is a contemplative Benedictine order. Okay.
Yes.
So there's two types of monks there. There's the choir monks and the lay brothers. The choir monks are typically priests. They basically pray all day long. They do work, of course, because that's the Benedictine order, pray, or the Benedictine motto, pray and work. But the lay brothers are there so that they can they actually spend more time working because somebody has to work.
Keep it going.
Yeah. So that the choir monks, yeah, exactly, so that they can pray.
Right.
I mean, that's like their vocation is mm-hmm. prayer. Like spiritually, imagine like a combination of a samurai, ninja, and the Hulk. Okay, like what if the Hulk was trained as a ninja? That is spiritually what these guys are. Okay,
yeah.
Imagine that. They spend
And we're going to hang out with them.
They spend all day punching Satan in the face.
That's what they do.
It sounds
that's
pretty manly.
Oh, it's super manly, dude. Like,
it's super manly.
I have to even use my manly voice to say it.
And I think that we're probably only going to be able to have 40 to 50 guys there, max.
Sign up. As soon as it's available on the website, we'll be shouting it.
And also, go to our website, thecatholicmanshow.com.
Check it out.
Subscribe to our newsletter because we need people. I know that a lot of people here have been listening since, I don't know, episode 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, have been listening for a long time. We need you guys, even though you've told us you've been listening, we need you to subscribe to our newsletter because we're trying to continue doing cool things. And in order to do cool things, we have to have funds. And we have to tell people, like, look, people are actually listening to our show. Give us funds. That's how that works.
The newsletter is free.
The newsletter is free, but
totally
we just need you to go there and sign up so that way we can send you. We do a lot of cool things on the newsletter.
And also, the newsletter is not it's not like every other day.
No, it's not spam.
No.
And let me just give a plug for you guys, like, as a listener and a fan of you guys, like, the apostolate, your apostolate is, I think, at the top of the list of importance in this day and age in our culture, in the culture war that we have going on. I mean, there's a war is being waged
absolutely
right now,
yeah,
on our faith. And when you go into church and you read the statistics of like for every one man that goes to like mass, there's like five women or something, you know, there's
yeah.
crazy
mm-hmm.
statistics
mm-hmm.
on mm-hmm. women, being at church more than men.
Sure, yeah.
And the man apostolate, the male in the age, like I said it earlier, of, I say, gender ambiguity. It's like the Facebook has all these lists of things that you can be, whatever you're feeling.
It's like 72.
And but
what?
72 genders you can register as on Facebook.
No. I don't accept that.
I don't even know how they come. It's almost impressive that they even came up with that many.
Yeah.
And there's like pronouns that are trying to be enacted for transgender. I mean, I'm very inclusive and loving, but there's even if they approve these pronouns, we as men just need to, the men who are men need to stay men and be strong, and we need to band together. And I think what you guys are doing is super important. So get on that mailing list, and it'll be one email amongst all of the fodder that's in there. It'll be an actual real email.
Yeah, because we have real content. Like, I think we send out one every about 2 to 3 weeks, and it has real content. It has discounts for other Catholic companies that you can only get from our newsletter.
Do you want Catholic cigars?
Right. At a discount. We're smoking a cigar right now as we
speak.
Yeah,
I was going to mention that. We're outside.
Yeah.
In fact, this is basically the main reason we're outside is that we can smoke cigars while we record this podcast.
Okay, Dave.
And sit by a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sit by a fire. Okay, so Dave, We've done the drink, which is a Glenmorangie 18-year, extremely rare. We've done the gear, which is
Man's Search for Meaning.
Right.
By Viktor Frankl.
That Miley has presented. We don't know really what we're going to talk about as the topic.
But
we're just going to kind of freelance
it. There's so many things. And, you know, Miley.
Riley's my dog. That's why he's
It's
that
easy to mistake me for a dog. Very easy.
That was my mistake. What you're talking about with how many women are in the church, that's one of the things that I think is so ironic about the church being labeled as a man dominant organization. Mm-hmm. I've always thought that was funny because it's being run by women.
And thank God, and I mean this literally, thank God for the women who are mm-hmm. running the church right now. Because men,
absolutely.
And only because men have not stepped up and fulfilled the roles that they're supposed to fulfill. And because the men have not fulfilled the roles they're supposed to fulfill, women have had to step up for them. And because they've had to step up for them, they've had to become all of the lecturer, the people who are the
extraordinary
readers,
ministers of the Holy Communion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had to do so much more than what they're really called to do.
Yeah, and this is kind of controversial about this topic. But if you read the germ or you know, the allowance for the lay faithful after Vatican II mm-hmm. to be ministers of Holy Communion, it says that
extraordinary
minister. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That only when necessary should the lay faithful be allowed, and it should be men. And if no men are available, then it says it's okay for women to be.
Okay, so I'm gonna.
That's just what it says.
And so I'm gonna play the devil's advocate. Why men?
Because men represent the priesthood of the family.
Right. Because when priests are up there, they're representing in persona Christi, which means in the person of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so men are, you know, Christ came as a male.
Right. And so there's so much symbolism.
Symbology.
That's the word I was going to say.
Symbolification.
Let's just go ahead and go. I'm going to go with symbology. It's the new word. There's so much symbolism going on in the Mass, and not all of it is actual. Like, the priest, he's actually necessary. It's not actually right. necessary for the priest to distribute communion. Okay, but it's very, very appropriate. And so those symbols, while they might seem superfluous, are important to preserve, because as a whole, it's like, okay, this one symbol, is that absolutely necessary? No. This one, is it? No. But when you look at the totality of the symbolism that they provide, without it, you know, the Mass loses a lot, the liturgy loses a lot of its teaching. The liturgy, the word liturgy means work.
Work.
The work of the people, kind of, you know. And without those symbols, those important symbols, the work loses a lot of the importance that it represents. You know what I mean? And
without
so,
a doubt.
And First of all, this needs to be said. I'm not trying to disparage women who are extraordinary ministers.
Because
no,
we just said, thank God for them.
I'm not.
Right.
I'm not saying anything. If you're a woman and you're doing that, I'm so glad, because men aren't doing it.
Right.
You know, go to any Mass, pick a church, and just look at the genders of the people who are going up, it's going to be about 70% women.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so men, you guys need to step up. You need to be the lectors.
That's why we started the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I love your show, because I had, I'm a convert. In case the listeners don't know, I'm, just celebrated my fourth Easter. So I'm very new.
All right.
And, one of my frustrations in the beginning, and this is like a confession, was going into a lot of, and I travel all over the world, so I, for a living, so I'm going to Mass in different languages, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
And there's always a group of old ladies sitting there praying before Mass, doing a rosary.
Yeah.
There'll be a group of people doing a rosary 20, 30 minutes before. And I had a realization a few months ago, and I was like, thank God for these ladies. They are all a bunch of Saint Monicas praying for the church, praying.
They're literally
praying
keeping the world
for
turning.
Their fall away relatives, their children who are adults in the world who have fallen away. They're praying for people who are sick. They're praying their hearts out.
Here's to you, women.
Yes.
Let's cheers to the women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cheers.
And it's the Catholic means universal. We have to remember that. And women have just as important roles as the men do.
Absolutely.
And so, but what we're talking about is there is a shortage of, I don't see a lot of old men there 20, 30 minutes before Mass praying.
No, uh-uh.
So
you're right. It's the same in my parish. I lead the rosary before Mass once a month, the fourth Sunday of the month.
I'm the third.
You're the third. And you're right. It's old women. There'll be a couple old men, but it's predominantly women.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
So raise your glass.
Step up to the plate and hit a home run, man.
Yeah. Swing for the fences.
And be on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
That should be a man gear topic.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles.
We were just discussing
how...
You just interrupted him.
My bad, dude. My bad.
Super rude.
No, I just interrupted.
I'm just trying to bring us back, you know.
Okay.
We were just talking about how much we all want to learn to just get mad skills on the harmonica.
I think that should be man gear topic next week.
When I was in college, I started learning how to play the guitar, right? And so obviously one of the first things you start talking about, like Billy Joel, is like kind of the harmonica guy. Like, yeah, you know, that's one of the first, like everybody knows Billy Joel.
I can play piano, man.
Yeah,
piano.
And I can on the guitar. And so I was like, I want to do both, right? I want to play the harmonica.
Talk about Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Billy Joel in the song Piano Man, he plays
both.
You know, he's got the neck brace,
you know,
holder thing.
Well, so does Bob Dylan. But I mean, anyway.
Sure.
So I was like,
a lot of people do.
I was dating Haley at the time, and I said, Haley, listen, I want to play the harmonica. And like, I heard her like kind of like, okay, like really straining, like okay. And I realized, I know that it is not fun to listen to somebody try to learn how to play their harmonica. Similar to, it's not fun to listen to somebody play their bagpipes.
Yeah, or the violin.
Or the violin.
It's a tough one.
How about any instrument?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, guitar.
I'll bet the drums is not a peaceful one either.
Not at all.
Yeah.
My mother is a saint. She let me play the drums till 7 p.m. every day. That was my cutoff. And I would wail.
Wow.
And
well, it's a good thing she did.
Yeah.
Dude, I have to tell you this, Miley. So there's a park right behind my house. About once a month, there's some kid who goes and sets up an entire drum set in this field and just starts wailing.
Just starts
I'm not kidding.
Jamming.
And he's just out there by himself. He's like all by himself, just out
and
here.
And he's not like just playing. I mean, he is theatrically like
a whole drum set.
I'll bet you he has a YouTube page that has like 9 million hits on it.
I don't know, but I've watched him. It takes him about 20 minutes to set it up and to take it down because he's, you know, hauling cymbals back and forth. It's a couple hundred yards from where he does it back to his car. Anyway, whenever he's out there, I love it. I just go outside and I can see him from my back porch.
Oh my
yeah.
goodness!
Yeah, it's awesome. Anyway, so we were just having a conversation before the break about areas where men are, you know, deficient in service, and service, I think, is a defining characteristic of what it means to be a man.
Without a doubt, I'm like I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, men are made to serve.
Mm-hmm.
We're made to. So are women. Women are made to serve too. But
in
women,
a different way.
Women, they get it.
Yeah.
You know, there's never going to be a crisis of
women,
motherhood.
Yeah.
There's never going to be a crisis of the feminine. There will be in small pockets. You know, the feminist movement is obviously a crisis of the feminine, mm-hmm. but it's really a reaction to a deficiency in the masculine. Mm-hmm. You know, so it still stemmed with men.
Yeah.
Women so intuitively and innately understand their vocation to serve as women. But it's men who have to really make the hard choices. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that it's difficult too. I mean, service is always hard. Mm-hmm. That's why it's service, because it involves giving of yourself. You know, it's not playing PlayStation. That's not service.
Right. Well, part of the curse was of original sin was that men were to toil,
right,
and work, and the sweat of their
brow
would put food on the table.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's our service is serving our family, keeping them alive on the most base human level. Mm-hmm. You know,
and like I have this like, you know, thing with Ephesians 5. We've talked about this, Dave. Like, you know, with men serving their wives as Christ served the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dave, how did Christ serve the church?
He died. He died for
it. He literally laid his life down for the church. And so if you want a good example, look to Christ. Look at Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the church. That's how men are supposed to lay down their lives for their wives. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Women, it says, men, lay down your lives as Christ laid down his life for the church.
Yeah. So I was actually thinking kind of about this today.
Okay.
And I was thinking about, you know, us men who we say, you know, we love, we have these people in our lives that we love, you know, our wives, our children, our families, our friends. Mm-hmm. And Christ says there is no greater love than to lay your life down for a friend, mm-hmm. or for another. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the question is, you know, I've asked myself this before, would I be willing to die? Would I be willing to die for my kids? Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. My wife? Absolutely. My friends, you know, and that, I hope so. It's a tougher decision because in that moment I'm having to weigh, am I willing to be absent from my children, mm-hmm. for this, you know,
for this person,
am I willing to die for that? So the mm-hmm. question is, how do you know if you really love someone? Well, do you die for them? Do you fast for them on a regular basis? Do you suffer in silence for them? And mm-hmm. do you do it with joy? Are you happy to endure this, or do you complain about it? Do you whine about it later? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's how you know if you really love someone. Do you die for them? That's mm-hmm. how you know if you would die for them. You know what I mean?
No,
we're called to is that, and I realize that this whole dying for someone, it's not a, oh, that hopefully that won't ever happen, you know, have to happen. It's something that we're called to every day.
Well, yeah, dying to self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And becoming Christ. You know, Paul says that.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And so, like, that, I think, Dave, you have
Saint
to...
Paul.
Saint Paul. Saint Paul, yes.
I'm a new Catholic. Sorry.
But Dave, I think you're totally correct. I think you have to, like, come into the mindset of, at any point in time, I'm willing to lay down my life for anybody. And you can't make any provisions. You can't say, oh, except for this, except for that. And you can't say, oh, well, what about, you know, my children? What about this? Like, you have to come into the mind frame of, I'm willing to lay down my life. If, you know, and this is radical, right? I mean,
yeah.
At least right now. In this world, we don't have to, luckily, we don't have to worry about, like, oh, I have to lay down my life. Like, you know, somebody's going to cut off my head right now.
Uh-huh.
But if that came about, you have to be in the mindset beforehand of saying, regardless of what happens, I'm doing it.
Yeah, you almost have to make the decision right now that you're prepared to do it. You know, it's a decision. And one time, I was thinking about this on my way home, and then I almost crashed into the car ahead of me. And I had this panic, like, what? And it made it, this moment made this conversation I was having in my head very real. Mm-hmm. And I realized I was instantly worried that, no, I can't die. I have to take care of my kids. I have to take care of my wife. You know, like, mm-hmm. who's going to do that? And then the next moment I realized, Dave, you are being so prideful. Mm-hmm. Do I really think it's me that takes care of them? These, my children are God's children before they're my children. And do I really think that it's me, like, it's because of my strength and my power that I'm able to provide for them.
That's why I think it's
no,
so important.
It's because of it's God is providing for them through me. And I realized, do I think that God doesn't love them enough? That he's not strong enough to take care of them if I'm gone?
Right.
Like, I am such a weak, pathetic instrument. Mm-hmm. And
that's why I think it's so important
to
focus at it at the beginning, beforehand. Because it's the same thing with any kind of, like, business decision, right? You know, going into a business decision, like, whatever happens, I'm going to go here. You know,
here's the goal.
And if even somebody comes down and tries to negotiate down, like, I have a set limit. Like, I'm not going below this. And so I think it's really important as a Christian man, you have to know, whatever it is, I'm not going below this. And what the radical thing that Jesus is calling us to is that the below this is your life. You know, so the below this is anything that you're not willing to give your life for. So that is what you have to come into it, just like any kind of business decision, any kind of friendship, that I know here's where I'm going to go. Here's my lowest. And the lowest should be your life.
Yep. Right. Now, of course, prudence has to come in to, you know, like, you shouldn't just be throwing your life away
I don't
things.
Think that's an issue.
You know, exactly. But it has been in the past. I mean, there was in the early church, there was a group of people who started glorifying martyrdom, and they went out intentionally seeking it. And the church has condemned that. I mean, but I don't think men of today are.
I don't think that's an issue.
You know, it's not something I think we have to worry about either.
No.
But even like the small things. We should clarify, like, the small things are sort of a death, you know, serving
without
another.
Without a doubt.
Like waking up when the baby needs formula at 4 a.m, you know, or just any kind of service, any kind of self-mortification, any kind of offering up, any kind of discomfort we have, and enduring that is also a death.
Dude, Miley, the toughest one for me is like what Jose Maria Escriva says, like the holy minute.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Yes, I'm sorry. Which is the holy minute of like waking up.
Heroic.
The heroic moment. Yeah. Heroic minute. That is so tough for me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough for everybody, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's waking up. As soon as you do, get out of bed.
It's a total act of the will.
Yeah. Get out of bed. Get on your knees. Kiss the floor.
Yes.
Is one thing Saint Jose Maria prescribed. Mm-hmm. For us.
I need a vacuum more. You know what I mean?
You're going to be kissing the floor?
Wow.
Oh, man. Okay,
there's
so,
the music.
So, if you're just now listening, become a Council Man member, because we're going to be doing a little bit more extra with Michael Miley, the drummer of Rival Sons. I'm Adam Mann, sitting here with David Niles, Glenn Morangi, 18-year, extremely rare, is our man beverage.
Go check out the book, Man's Search for Meaning, by Victor Frankl.
Love you guys. I love all you.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.